blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 168, stanzas 2 and 3. How great my trespasses appear, but thou from guilt my soul will clear, and my transgressions hide. How blessed thy chosen, who by grace are brought within thy dwelling place, that they may there abide. 2 and 3 of Psalter 168.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the third book of Moses called Leviticus, and thereof the sixth chapter, the first seven verses. Leviticus 6, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Leviticus chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who dost dwell in thy high and holy place, amidst all the holy beings who are so wholly dedicated unto thee to magnify and to glorify thy most holy name, in that place wherein no sin dwells, where there is no need of the sun, for the glory of the Lord does lighten it. All that thou may give us when we are here upon this world, a little moment in thy house, in the place where thou sayest that thou dost also dwell here below. For thou who dwellest on high dost humble thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And then there are moments wherein thy people may experience that thou dost know where that they are, who that they are, while they are walking through the Meshech of this world here below. Then thou dost with thy spirit visit them in ways which they cannot fathom. O thou dost give them the knowledge of thee in a way that they cannot even understand. Thou sayest, I know my sheep. O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of them, also where they are, even in this hour, and what they stand in need of as they have come up unto thy house of prayer, or that may be listening from another place. But thou knowest thy own sheep, and thou hast made them sheep, and thou hast called them out of nature's darkness, and thou hast brought them into thy marvelous light. And thou knowest all that they do experience here in this world. Oh, that thou may visit them also on this thy holy day. For thou sayest that thy sheep also do know thee. I know my sheep and am known of mine. O Lord, then they do say so often, I do not know him. Oh, could I know him? Could I know more of him? Oh, thou givest a little knowledge. Oh, they desire more knowledge. They desire, Lord, to hear thy voice. Thou dost say, my sheep hear my voice. Oh, that thou may speak unto them then, also in this thy holy day, when they have come up with desire perhaps in thy house of prayer, with a need, with a longing, with a cry, with a sigh. Lord, wilt thou come unto me in this day? And when thou hast so long, when for so long I have not heard thy voice, and thou art so righteous and thou art so just, never to speak unto my soul. But Lord, then it is all of thee. And thou dost say that thou dost speak unto thy people, and thou dost know them, and they also follow thee. O thy bride did say, draw me, Lord, we will run after thee. And when thou wilt draw thy sheep again, oh, then others also will follow. Wilt thou not do so, Lord? Would it not be for the bringing in of thy church this day, and when we are in thy house of prayer, and when all about us is speaking so very loudly, when men do fall away from our sides, both young and old, and when there are those that have accidents, and when there are those that are in the hospitals, they are very, very young, and they are also older. And Lord, all these callings are coming unto us. Oh, they are coming and speaking with a very loud voice. But all those voices, they will only be to our condemnation if thou wilt not speak. With that still small voice within our heart, as a voice that is behind us, this is the way, walk ye therein. Oh, could it be that we might hear thy voice this day, that thou would speak to the drawing of our souls away from all that is perishing, away from all of the vanity of our hearts and the sin of this world. Oh, that thou wouldst call us in our souls, and that our souls may be given to go out unto the true and unto the living God. Oh, that we may be drawn unto heaven, where that thou dwellest and art seated at that right hand of God, as thou didst say unto thy disciples, I go my way unto him that sent me. And thou art the beloved of the Father, but thou art also the beloved of thy church, who do learn within themselves, and that there is no way from our own side. And so thou dost make thyself to be beloved, to be precious, to be necessary, to be suitable even unto wretched and miserable sinners. Oh, could it be, and that in this day also thy voice may be heard in the conviction, in the convincing of sin, and that men may lose the battle, and that we may have to bow before the King of Kings. Oh, that we as a soul may be brought down upon the ground and to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, that thy word may come even in its softness, perhaps, in this day that we may attend unto the things that are spoken. Lord, thou hast so many ways. Thou art so free, and thou art also almighty, and thou art so powerful, and thou art also so merciful and gracious to those who do not deserve it. Then there is not one of us who can put in our hand into our own bosom and take it out, not leprous. Oh, Lord, then we are from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And then it is a wonder that thou dost not spew us out of our mouth as that lukewarm water, saying, I would that thou art cold or hot. Oh, could it be that from thy own side, as thou hast promised in thy holy word to thy own dear and beloved Son, to give unto him a seed that would serve him. Oh, could it be also from among us, Lord, even in this day, to show unto him that thou wilt also do as thou hast promised him? Or has he not finished the work that thou hast given him to do? Has he not paid now that price that he has promised to pay in all the agony of his soul and of his body? Or has he not given himself, O Lord, even unto death? And now thou hast promised him a seed. Oh, could it be that in this day that seed may be born, born to an eternal, to an endless life, an eternal life that is serving, magnifying thy dear and only begotten Son, O Lord, whom thou lovest, who is the Son of thy right hand, who does lie in thy bosom. Oh, that it could be that we also may be united unto thee through him, through that blessed mediator, and that we may be brought into that blessed communion with thee. Oh, we have forsaken thee in our father Adam. We forsake thee every day again, our whole life. And that is a testimony, and that we are children of our father, and we bear the guilt of our covenant head. Oh, Lord, there is no hope for us except for thee thyself in all that thou hast done in thy dear Son. Oh, take us, Lord, take us by heart and by hand, both the fathers and the children, and the mothers and the daughters, and the young and the old together. Oh, that we may come in the dust of self-abasement before thee, that we may be humbled before thee, and that we could not exist before thee, and that we may confess before thee all our iniquities and all of our sins and all of our transgressions, and that we may be brought in that place of impossibility from our own side. Oh, that we may cry out of that pit, that deep and great pit wherein we have brought ourselves, wherein thou art such a suitable Savior for such as we are, O Lord, as such as each and every one of us who cannot give unto ourselves the least repentance, who cannot give unto ourselves one tear in our eye, one tear in our soul. But thy Spirit, oh, that is so powerful. Oh, thou art able to break us down, and thou art able to give us true repentance, and thou art able to bring us to the to thy blessed footstool, to cry out of all of our misery, the depth of that pit wherein we have brought ourselves. Oh, that thou wouldest hear from heaven, even as thou didst hear the children of Israel in the day of their adversity. Oh, and they did feel the slavery. Oh, and they did cry to thee under the power of the enemy and not able to deliver themselves. And their cry did come up unto heaven. And oh, there thou, Lord, in all thy faithfulness to the promise that thou hadst promised unto their father Abraham, and that thou wouldst bring them out of that land unto a place that thou hadst promised for them. O thou art the fulfiller of all thy promises. O could it be also then felt and experienced this day, O Lord, and that thou art the same God, and that thou art that covenant God, that thou speakest and that thou fulfillest, and that everything that thou sayest, that is true, and that thou art good also to those who have sinned against thee. Look on all the needs. We remember that mother. Oh, thou hast made her a mother, and thou hast given her a child into her womb. Oh, after so long a time, how many cries have gone up unto thee, and that thou wouldst give unto them a child. And thou, in thy great goodness, hast heard. And now, Lord, thou knowest the trouble, thou knowest the distress, thou knowest all the cares. Oh, we beseech thee, that thou may look upon that child, that thou may remember the mother, where that she is, and could it please thee to give a well-born child in thy own time, and that thou may give, and that it may yet be a child that is born to be born again, a child that is known of thee. Oh, may it be even from the womb, and that thou would spare, Lord, and that life that thou hast given that is so tender, and that man is not able to spare. Oh, then the doctors, and they want to be so careful, Lord, that thou may give them wisdom, and that thou may give them skill, and that thou may watch over them as the great physician. The other child in the hospital, oh, care for the child also, and all that still needs to take place in his young life. Oh, that thou, who art also so tender unto thy little children, unto the sheep, unto the little lambs of the flock, oh, that thou wouldst so tenderly also care for this child. And Lord, thou knowest also the others, because there are those that mourn a young daughter so suddenly removed out of a family. Oh, thou knowest what they do suffer. Oh, that thou may uphold them. And because who is able under those circumstances to uphold themselves? Oh, Lord, be on their right and on their left in thy mercy. Oh, wilt thou remember another in our midst who did lose a brother-in-law? Lord, thou knowest her also, a widow, her own husband is taken away from her. Oh, that thou may be near unto her and visit her also in all the ways wherein thou dost lead her and her family. Lord, that thou may care for all of the afflicted ones, those that are in the hospital, those that may come home from the hospitals after surgery, after accidents. Lord, care for each and every one of all that have needs and cares. Wilt thou care also for our denomination? We have been at a meeting in the week that has gone by, and thou hast given so much brotherly love and affection there at that meeting. And when we may gather together, oh, we may acknowledge thee therefore. Oh, that thou may bless the decisions that have been made. And they are not easy sometimes. But Lord, we may be part, we may believe. Oh, we may hope. of thy own kingdom, our denomination, which thou hast given the truth unto. Oh, we may believe it, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. Oh, wilt thou preserve it then? Also, preserve us as office bearers and consistories, that thou may give us all wisdom and give us all grace, and especially for the flocks over which thou hast made us overseers. Remember the young man and his wife who will begin to prepare to go unto the mission field, there to be a help in all the labors. O Lord, thou knowest what this is for them to gather, him and also his wife. O, we beseech thee, O, that they might feel a little of thy presence, of thy nearness. O, give them courage, give them comfort, and when they also will one at the appointed time have to leave the comforts of family and friends, oh, that thou may thyself go before them, and that thou may bless also this way that thou dost lay upon them. Remember thy servant who has come from the mission field, who hopes to be installed in his new congregation in the week that is lying before us. Oh, that thou may remember all that come and go from that place, that thou may also bless him and his family there, and that thou may give his labors to be a blessing in the midst of that new flock. Remember the wedding, and that is to take place here in our church under another consistory's authority. Lord, wilt thou remember those two young friends when they hope to be united in that bond of holy matrimony. Oh, that thou may bind them truly together, and that that day in thy house may be experienced as a day wherein thou art near. Wilt thou look upon all those that have needs and cares, also those that are suffering from addictions, those that have cares that are hidden, crosses that they bear as sometimes so alone. Oh, that thou might they may experience that thou dost know of them. Look upon all that are here in this day. Wilt thou be with us when we try to bring thy word? O Lord, help us. Be on our right and be on our left hand. O, fill us with thy spirit. Fill us with thy grace. O, that we may receive wisdom and clarity for the sake of all, also the children, and those that maybe are not able to understand the language so easily. But wilt thou be in our midst? One word from thee, O Lord. Oh, then we receive the profit of being together in thy house of prayer. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you from Leviticus chapter 6, and thereof the verses 6 and 7, Leviticus 6 and verses 6 and 7. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So far the words of our text, which speak about a ram for a trespass offering. First, the trespass. It speaks about that in the first part, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. The trespass. Second, the offering, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. The offering, and last, the promise, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. The promise, a ram for a trespass offering. First, the trespass. Second, the offering. And third, the promise. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. And then there were different kinds of offerings. If we would read that entire chapter, then we would find that there are different kinds of offerings and that had to be brought by the children of Israel unto the Lord. A burnt offering, a meat offering, a peace offering, a sin offering. And then here it is speaking about the trespass offering. Thus, what is a trespass? And that word is asham. That means guilt. Guilt. That is the consequence, we read here, of all manner of sin. If a soul sin and commit a trespass, so that is a different word actually, in the original, not the same word we're speaking about here, asham, but it means just unfaithfulness or some treacherous act. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which is delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Many ways, aren't there, children, to sin. Many ways. Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty. Guilty. That is the word asham that we are speaking about here. Then shall he bring his trespass offering. So one says guilty and the other says trespass, but in the original, they're the same word. That is asham. Thus, it is a trespass offering, or what may just as the same be translated into a guilt offering. A trespass offering or a guilt offering. And thus we have considered for the past weeks many different words in the original languages that have all been that have all that meaning of sin. We have considered iniquity, that perversion of what is right and what is true, and a transgression. Do you remember, children, what that was? To transgress and to go outside of the bounds. Your mother and father put boundaries. You may go, young people. Yes, you may do. Maybe things you may enjoy, but you may not go out of the boundaries. Certain limits that the Lord sets for you. Transgressions. The missing of the mark. Unfaithfulness. We heard about evil or ungodliness, wickedness, what it means to go astray after being very near. We heard about vanity, emptiness, and then there are more words. But is that sufficient? Is that enough? You say, what do you mean, is that enough? Is that enough for what? Well, is that enough to have an arrow go into our heart that we may be convinced of our sin? Is that enough that we may cry out now unto the Lord, who that we are before Him? What did the Lord Jesus say? He promised His disciples that He was going to go away, and that He was going to send the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit. And He said that that Holy Spirit was going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What does that mean, to reprove the world? That it was to convict the world, to show unto the world their faults. Are you reproved of your sin by the Lord? You remember that is why we have tried to speak of these things in those weeks that have gone behind us. Because we said, what is now necessary for us? All of us together, we say, well, the first thing that we need is that we need to know what our sin is, in order that that mediator would become precious, necessary, suitable unto us. But now we come to the end of it. And now when we look back in the weeks that are gone by, then we may all ask ourselves, oh, I know it is also poor, but still it is the Lord's word. Is there now any dart that has come into our heart? Have we ourselves been reproved? Do you know what the word means? It means to expose. Has the Lord exposed? Has the Lord opened up what is living a little bit? What is living within our own heart? Because by nature we hide it. But the Lord says that He was going to send His Spirit to expose it, to reprove. And that is a great mercy. If the Lord would expose our own iniquities and transgressions and vanity and so on, if the Lord would expose that unto ourself, because if we will have that exposed to ourselves, what are we going to feel? Then we are going to feel our guilt, our shame, that we should feel. That we should feel with every iniquity, every transgression, we should feel our guilt. Is that so? Do we? How many things are we able to sin against the Lord and we feel nothing? We feel nothing. And why do we feel nothing? Because, congregation, we are so used to it. Because we do these things every day. Because we have lived our vain life since we were born. And then it has not become sin unto us. And so that our conscience is not speaking unto us, but our conscience is dulled. So then we can hear it. We can hear that preached from time to time what iniquity is, what transgression is, what our unfaithfulness is, and that we miss the mark and so on. And maybe then we are for a moment impressed. Was it so? For just a moment. Did you ever go home out of the house of the Lord? And then you feel a little bit. And then it is gone. Then you take up the conversation again at home. And then you go Monday to work or to school. And then it is like a morning cloud that comes and that disappears. That feeling. But do you know what doesn't go away? The guilt. The guilt. Because our guilt is before God. And that is not something that comes and goes like a morning cloud. No, that is something that remains. That is standing. And that is written in the book of God. That is written on our account. That we will have to answer for when we are standing before God. Thus, our conscience speaking, that is like pain. You like pain, children? Say, no, I don't like pain. But pain is very important for us. Pain is a protector for us. Why? Because when something is wrong in our body, then we have pain. And that pain, because of the pain, well, maybe it is bad enough we don't even go to work. We don't go to school. And we go to the doctor, we go to the hospital. And then the cause of that pain has to be taken care of, and we are forced to do it because of the pain. That is the same as your conscience. If you would not feel it in your conscience, and you will dull that pain, you will just take painkillers. You say, well, I take those painkillers, but that does not solve the problem. And if you will just step on your conscience, that does not solve the problem either. Do you know why? It's coming back. It's coming back. Does it ever come back? Maybe you can ask young people, your father or your mother, if that ever comes back, the things that they have done in their youth, when they're laying on their bed at night or in the morning, and there they cannot sleep, and then this is coming back, and that is coming back. It's all written there. It's written in God's book. And it is written actually in our own conscience, the book of our own conscience. And that is, you know what David said? He said, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Thus we have the proof. Or you can find a man on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, then it is all coming back again. Joseph's brothers, it was a long time ago. They have sold him into Egypt. Years have gone by. Still there. And then he come into trouble. And then it is coming back. And what have they done? Oh, they have stepped on it. They did not want to deal with it. But, Oh, maybe they didn't remember it even for days at a time. And yet, the guilt before God, that matter is still standing there between them and the Lord. Oh, if the Lord is not merciful to us, that in our life, He will bring it back to us as a pain, then it is coming back on the judgment day, because the Lord is going to reprove men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty. Thus, when he has sinned, he is guilty. What does it mean to be guilty? Guilty means that we are at fault, that we have committed an offense. And that means that there is also a liability to punishment that is laying on us, that will be given to us as a sentence by the court, by the judge. Every man who has sinned is subject to reproof by the judge. For God is angry at what? At sin, yes. And at the sinner. Not just at sin, but at the sinner. At the one who has committed the sin. We read, God is angry at the wicked every day. And God is going to reward the evildoer according to his wickedness. Cannot be any other way. Because God's justice must be satisfied. That is, congregation, not all carried out here below. Peter says in the end of time there's going to be scoffers. Scoffers who will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So do we think that because the punishment has not yet come, that it is not coming? That is false. That is a false hope. Solomon says, because sentence for an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that is now our unbelieving heart, that we think that all the iniquity and all the sin that we have committed, that we have not yet received our due reward for. And we say it is not coming. But God's justice must be satisfied. Because if it is not satisfied, God is not God. And congregation, that is impossible. All sin will be punished. Thus, every sin brings on a sinner a penalty. That is, that by sinning, a man brings himself into debt. And that debt must be paid. How great is our debt? Are you able to pay it? What is the wages of sin? Paul says that is death. Are you able to pay it? Are you able to suffer it and come out from under it? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Just a little piece of fruit. It was a little thing. Right, young people? Little thing. You just took a piece of fruit. No, that is not a little thing. And why is that not a little thing? Because God told him not to. And because he didn't listen. And therefore taking of that fruit was rebellion. And that is now the root that is underneath the foundation, as it were, of all that sin that is within the heart and that is coming forth from us. All that is worthy of nothing less than death. Because man is by sin rebelling against God, not only temporal death, but also eternal death. You say, how is that possible? Then that debt can be paid. No, we cannot pay that. We cannot pay that. Is that now your experience? Is that now something that we just tell you and you learn in your mind? That you have learned in catechism class, in confession class? Or is that now something that you experience in your own life? All your guilt, that heaven high load of guilt that I am not able to take away. All the Lord knows that too. He knows that too. He knows that better than we do. He knew that before that we did. And it is now in the great love that he had unto his church that he is providing for their impossibility. That is what we see in our second thought. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. That's his guilt offering. That is something, is it not? Because there is congregation, the Lord's solution. The Lord's solution for the impossibility of his church. That is not something made up by man. That is an institution of God himself. Sinai, he descended and gave unto Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, that to pronounce upon us our guilt. And then he gave unto Moses the law, the ceremonial law that followed it. Because through that moral law, all that impossibility that is opened up to his people. And now the Lord followed this. Oh, not with his wrath. Is that not a wonder? But the Lord followed this. As we can read in these first five books of Moses. With his ceremonial law. That was given by God. It was given by the judge. It was given by him himself. Who is offended. Because of our sin. You say our neighbor is offended. That is true. This portion also deals with that. We hope to speak about that in a few minutes. But now God and our sin, oh, He is the one that is offended, a guilt offering. You say, what is that to God? Just an animal that is sacrificed, that is given up by a man. As we would say, a gift that doesn't give God anything, does it? That does not satisfy His justice, does it? No. No, but it is a representation. It is a representation of God's solution for that impossibility of His own church. And He shall bring His trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock. With thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. So there you have that man. Oh, he is guilty. And then he must, according to that law of the Lord, he must take a ram out of his flock. And it must be a ram that is without blemish. And he is to bring that ram. He is to bring it unto the priest. He is to bring that ram, as it were, unto the Lord. Thus, there he goes. What is the Lord? What will the Lord do with this? Oh, when he is bringing that ram. Then the Lord wants to show him something as he is bringing that ram. He wants to show him what he is going to do for that guilty man. This is now a means that the Lord is using for his people. The Lord, as that man is coming, and with that ram, the Lord will point him to his only begotten Son, whom he is going to send, that unblemished Lamb of God. Of course, that man did not know how all this would be fulfilled. But it is the same faith of the Old Testament that it is in the New Testament. And the Lord will show him with this, that when he is not able to rid himself of all his guilt because of transgression against that law of God, then he wants to show him in a visible manner that he may receive instruction in his soul. As he is bringing that ram unto the priest. And then the Lord says to him, this, O man, this, O sinner, this, O guilty one, is now my solution. Because there is no other solution. And when the man is coming there, he's coming with that ram, his guilt offering, his trespass offering, then in his heart, then there is to be an acknowledgement of what? His sin. An acknowledgement of his guilt. Then when he is bringing it, the Lord commands him to do it, that the Lord through this may bless it. That with this picture, as it were, all the Lord may reveal unto the soul of that man his only begotten Son. That man will not see it. He will not see it if he has not truly felt his guilt. That man is not going to see it if he is not truly convinced of the impossibility from his own side. No, then it will be demanded of him, and he will do it out of obedience to the priesthood and to Moses. It will be for him a ritual. It will be one ram less out of his flock. But if that soul is truly made contrite, and that soul is truly made poor in all his inability, and that soul is truly made desirous that everything that is standing between the Lord and my soul will be taken out of the way, all then the Lord, he is giving unto such a blessing, and he is opening unto him what is now given unto him from heaven. And that was not only in those days, but the Lord is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us sing, before we go to our last thought, the song of Zacharias, all the stanzas. Now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear. All the stanzas, 1-7. Of the Song of Zacharias. ram for a trespass offering. First, the trespass. Second, the offering. And third, the promise. And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. That is, congregation, the promise of the Lord upon what? Upon the bringing of that trespass offering unto the Lord. And thus we have here a picture of faith. So just as that man, he is coming with that offering, so we have a picture of faith that is going out unto the Lord with that offering that the Lord has commanded to bring before him. Then the soul is given to go out to him, looking, depending, trusting upon that sacrifice as that only hope, that only expectation of his soul. Do you know what that is? No man can do that. No, because we are dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And Paul says that is a gift of God. The congregation, that is indeed a gift of God. That God does give. That God does give. Not only in those days, but that he also gives in our days. And the Lord gives that gift in the use of the means that he gives to us. And when that soul may, through the use of those means, indeed go out unto him, oh, looking and trusting upon that sacrifice, all then that soul may experience something also of what the Lord promises. And what does the Lord promise? He promises forgiveness. What does that mean? That means to pardon. To pardon, that is to be released from the penalty. And the penalty is withdrawn so that there is no more debt. Is that not a wonderful thing? What is the basis upon which the Lord can do that? Well, that is that offering. That is that payment of his only begotten Son. And the Lord says, I will receive that. That is his institution. And he says, if you will now bring that, O guilty soul, if you will now bring me that ram. Bring me that ram. Come unto me with that ram. Then I will accept that from you. Is that not a wonder? The Lord did not have to do that. That is all coming from the good pleasure of God, that he is willing to receive that ram, that sacrifice, in place of that guilty soul, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Is that not a wonderful statement? Anything of all that he has done, all, there is nothing. There is nothing that is not covered by the Lord, that is not covered by that sacrifice for that true church of God. Thus, all the iniquity and all the transgression and all the going astray and all the missing of the mark, and all of the vanity, all of it, everything that is covered by that ram. That is the promise of the Lord. And when indeed our soul may be given by the Lord to come with that offering by faith, that refuge-taking faith, when it may come and take refuge in that offering, then the soul may see, it may see something of what the Lord is promising here to his people. Or then it sees something of the fullness, that there is an ocean of grace, that there is a fountain, and that fountain that is able to swallow up what they have seen and experienced to be an unending fountain of guilt within themselves. Because the grace of God, or when that faith may go out to him, when the Lord may reveal himself, oh, then they may see the truth that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Oh, did the Lord ever reveal the solution to your impossibility? Oh, did the Lord ever give you to come in your soul? In your soul. Did the Lord ever give you to flee? To flee unto him with that ram? With his own institution to say, Lord, here it is. What thou now hast given, and what thou hast promised for such as I am. Oh, may the Lord ever give you for one moment that your soul may take hold of that promise of the Lord, that it becomes so overwhelming that you see that there is actually no more sin left. Because, of course, this is forgiveness, and you know that forgiveness is a judicial matter, right? That is something that takes place in the court. It is a judge, boys and girls, that must forgive a man his sin. That is the picture that we have in the Word of God. The Lord reveals that picture unto us. And we know that there are steps. There are steps in the judicial process here in that picture that the Lord is giving to us. And those steps, they are also declared in the Word of God in many different ways that we cannot go into now. But for the Lord to reveal that surety, that is certainly not the same thing as for that judge to speak, the same that it is in the courts that are in this world. That is why Bunyan, he made a distinction between coming in at the gate or coming to the cross. He says those are two distinct things, two distinct matters in the experience of God's church. But there was already joy. Where? You say at the cross? Yes, before that. Before that, because we read at the gate already that that Christian says, he says, I rejoice and tremble, and tremble. It's not finished yet. But he has entered through that strait gate. And now he is walking upon that narrow way. And now our text that speaks about the promise of the Lord, and that becomes now the hope, the expectation of a guilty soul. It is the promise of that surety, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. What does the word atonement mean? It means to cover. To cover. And if you cover something, children, you cannot see it, right? The priest shall make an atonement for him. Thus, that is the consequence of this offering. Then there is a covering over the sin of God's church so that the Lord, that is the judge, cannot see it. Cannot see it. It is atoned for. That is why Hezekiah says, "And thou shalt cast all my sins behind thy back." That is, they are covered in the sight of God. Thus, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that that Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin. He will expose it. He will open it up. But the promise of the Lord is that he is going to cover it with that ram, with that sacrifice, that it cannot be seen any more by that judge. And now, of course, when that sentence is done and that court case is done, then you understand there is a great freedom. And when the judge has spoken and that man is going to go out of that court, he said, then the case is done. It is all finished. It doesn't come back again. That is right. But it is even possible before that time, because that takes time in the world, and that typically takes time also for God's children, many, many years often, if the Lord even gives that great blessing. But it is possible that already, before that they come into the court, before the trial, that man, he is so looking to that lawyer and so trusting in that lawyer that he is at rest. That he is at rest. Oh, there are times when that true church who has never come into that court, as it were, and all that guilt that is lying upon him, and yet that the Lord may give moments when that faith, that refuge-taking faith, may so go out to that ram, to that sacrifice, that there is That they see no sin. That they see no sin. That it is for them just as if the case is already finished. But it doesn't stay that way. No, the case is not finished. And so that is coming back unto them. Oh, it is a very special thing. If the Lord may give a man to hear it out of the mouth of the judge, he does not give that to everyone. That is a very special thing, but it is also a great help for the assurance of faith, which is a reflexive thing. But we do not have time to speak about all of that today, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. And now there is one other thing that we need to say something about here, because we read also, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. You say, well, that trespass offering, that has not covered it all then, has it? Because he still has to repay. He still has to restore what he has chosen. Yes, that is right. Because now that guilt offering does not take away the necessity that that man would make it good with his neighbor. That forgiveness by the Lord does not take away all the consequences of our sin in this life. Nathan said to David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because thou hast given great occasion for the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. What does it mean to be forgiven? Because there are people, they say, forgiving is forgetting. Is that right? No, that is not completely right. There is a certain part that is forgotten, yes. What does the Lord forget? Oh, we just said that. The guilt. The guilt. And if it is man to forgive our neighbor, what do we forget? That is all the revenge. That is all put behind our back. But then there are other things that do not belong unto that forgiveness. Because that man will never come into judgment by the Lord for that sin again. But that does not mean that his deed is forgotten. That does not mean that there is nothing that still needs to be rectified with his neighbor. That does not mean that the character of that man, whom he has shown to be himself to be, when he has stolen, he is a thief. Right, children? If you steal, you're a thief. And you may now be forgiven, but you are still a thief. And that has to be remembered by everyone that is around you, because they need to watch you, right? And it is going to take time that you are going to build again some trust, and that you say, I'm not going to be a thief anymore, right? I'm going to change. And then everyone around you, oh, after a long time, you build up that trust again. Now you say, oh, that is a different boy, that is a different girl. They are not a thief anymore. And thus it also is. Oh, the character of that sinner. Oh, to just forget that character, that is not part of forgiveness. No, the character has to be changed. What is that? That is sanctification. That is a different matter than justification, that is, the forgiveness of our sins. O congregation, may we ever come. May we ever come as a poor, guilty sinner. With that ram unto the Lord, with this trespass offering, this guilt offering before the Lord, that is now an act of faith, of refuge-taking faith in the promise of the Lord, in the institution of the Lord himself, all that is in the sacrifice of his dear and of his only begotten Son. There is no sinner too great. No sinner too great. That is what we read here in the Word of God. To be forgiven all of his guilt by that sacrifice that God, the offended God, and our judge before whom we will appear and have to give an account. No sinner too great to be forgiven. Oh, the Lord, bring us in such a way unto his mercy seat, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, show unto us our guilt. Bring us in that place that we may come by a true refuge-taking faith unto thy footstool. Oh, there is mercy and there is grace sufficient for all the sin. Oh, that thou may show it unto those that do despair, who have no hope, who have no more expectation. Oh, draw them, Lord. Give them to look a moment upon that ram that is without blemish. Bring us safely home. Bless thy word. Forgive our sins. Care for us in the week that is to come. Spare each one from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Also our children and our young people. Teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 83, all stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.